This is David Gilpatrick with News in Focus from the Center Effingham Baptist Church. I'd like to comment today on the article, Vermont Becomes Third State to Legalize Assisted Suicide. The article begins with Governor Peter Schumlin's signature on a bill the state legislature approved. Vermont today becomes the third state after Oregon and Washington to legalize assisted suicide. Schumlin signed a bill today legalizing physician-assisted suicide for patients deemed to have a terminal condition. The move immediately drew opposition from the leading pro-life groups. The new legislation lays the foundation for deadly acts of disguised as care, noted Americans United for Life President Charmin Yost. Physician-assisted suicide does not affirm the life or dignity of individuals facing serious illness or death. Instead, it opens the door to abuses and dangers for extremely vulnerable individuals. This legislation provides incentives for physicians and even family members to pressure vulnerable people into dying for the convenience of others, she said. I think when we see these sorts of things begin to happen, being passed as bills in these states of our United States, we begin to realize that the whole face of health care has changed, and perhaps even the definition of health care. As this particular article goes into the various ramifications of such a bill, that it could lead to very serious consequences for our elderly people. This legislation then, quote, lays the foundation for deadly acts disguised as care, unquote. The AUL's legal team noted that the law fails to include some of the most basic legal protections for those considering physician-assisted suicide. The article goes on to say, the organization told Life News that a physician who has only examined a patient one time is permitted to prescribe life-ending drugs to the patient. Further, the physician is not required to refer the patient for an evaluation by a psychiatrist to determine if the patient is depressed or being coerced to the end of his or her life. The law also does not require witnesses to be present when the patient takes a life-ending medication, increasing the possibility that persons who may wish to hasten a patient's death might be with the patient and pressure the patient to end his or her life or even administer the drugs themselves. I'd like to quote a paragraph from the book Whatever Happened to the Human Race by Francis Schaeffer, which I believe has some appropriate bearing on this very subject. As assisted suicide is and does fall within the parameters of euthanasia, that is, death by the decision of the patient, or it could be with the consent of family members or the doctor, or maybe without the consent of the patient if the patient is not themselves able to make that decision. Just how far the doctors or patient may go in the various circumstances of taking one's own life perhaps is yet to be explored, but we can only say that such a move as to legalize assisted suicide is no doubt a step in the wrong direction. In Schaeffer's writings under Euthanasia, Death with Dignity, the word euthanasia becomes a respectable part of our vocabulary and consciousness in a subtle way, via the phrase death with dignity. This term was first used, as far as we know, in a book published in Germany in 1920 by Karl Binding and Alfred Kolke. The release of the destruction of life devoid of value. There is no doubt about what the authors meant by the term. They made it the motto of the movement to legalize the killing of person who had, quote, the right to the complete relief of an unbearable life, unquote. But we have to ask, quote, unbearable, unquote, by whose definition? Note in this paragraph, Germany was experimenting with this thought very early because perhaps they wished to get rid of certain persons in a legal way and not have the national guilt that goes along with it. Schaefer goes on to say, starving to death a newborn infant with a congenital defect is given the name passive euthanasia, and somehow or other seems more acceptable in the minds of those who commit such an atrocity than taking an active step to kill the same child. Today in America we find that health care has changed dramatically. And with the Obamacare now in place, we find that perhaps there will be more progressive steps taken that we would not have thought possible 20 years ago. Continuing reading in the article, America has prided itself in affirming the worth and dignity of the elderly and disabled, observes Yost. The kind of law undetermined the humanity of the vulnerable, encouraging a cost analysis approach to life rather than affirming the humanity of the sufferer, said Yost. Nora Sullivan of the Pro-Life Charlotte Loser Institute said Vermont is the first state to decriminalize assisted suicide through the legislative process. The bill states that a qualifying patient must be at least 18, a Vermont resident, and suffering from an incurable and irreversible disease. With less than 6 months to live, two physicians, including the prescribing doctor, must make the medical determination, said Sullivan. Sullivan adds, advocates for assisted suicide argue that giving terminally ill patients the options of ending their lives medically is the most compassionate option and argue for its safety and ethicality. However, as pointed out by Jacqueline Harvey, Ph.D., physician-assisted suicide can lead to serious and unforeseen harm. There is real concern that the legislation of physician-assisted suicide can lead to the denial of palliative care coverage and adverse impact on the disabled. Dr. Harvey also points out that there is a real concern about terminally ill patients being coerced into choosing suicide for financial reasons or convenience sake. As is stated in the article, the American Medical Association has also remained firm in its position regarding assisted suicide. Regarding the issue of the AMA states, quote, physician-assisted suicide is fundamentally incompatible with the physician's role as healer, would be difficult or impossible to control, and would pose serious societal risks, unquote. I think the key phrase there in the article is that it would pose serious societal risks. To reiterate the comment by Charmaine Yost, quote, this kind of law undermines the humanity of the vulnerable, encouraging a cost analysis approach to life rather than affirming the humanity of the sufferer, unquote. I think probably we would all agree as laymen to this whole concept of what is going on within the healthcare community. aside from those who are professionals in the field, and the observation of what is taking place, we find that healthcare changing dramatically has caused a lot of things to take place within the doctor's office and the hospital. People seem to be sent home from the hospital much sooner than they used to, and we find that perhaps in some cases people are not even sent to the hospital under certain conditions when their situation seems to be irreversible or terminal. Kafer goes on to say, quote, on occasion, a physician may decide to withhold extraordinary means in the management of a patient. Is there ever justification for this? First of all, one must define the term extraordinary, as it refers to medical care. Things which are extraordinary today will not be extraordinary next year, and things which are extraordinary last year are ordinary now. There was a day when the administration of oxygen or the use of intravenous fluids was extraordinary, and so it has been with respirators, pacemakers, and heart-lung machines, said Schaefer. Another voice on the subject, Dr. Edward Mahoney, president of the Vermont Alliance for Ethical Healthcare, stated, Democrats and Republicans, medical professionals, and disability rights advocates have consistently come together to oppose this ill-conceived and misguided public policy. He adds, quote, the latest bill version is an unrestricted physician-assisted suicide hodgepodge and represents the worst of both worlds, a huge and negative shift in public policy and the way Vermont approaches people with serious illnesses or disabilities. It is Oregon-style assisted suicide 2.0, unquote. We've all taken particular note of what has gone on in the abortion field, that more and more abortions are being done for less and less serious reasons, and in most cases not for the mother's health, but rather for the mother's convenience. And we've seen much controversy over this subject, but yet we find that the flood tides of abortion have not receded, that they continue to rise over the period of years, and we find that public opinion for such things, though we find that there are pro-life groups which stand against them, still remains very strong, and we wonder if after a while that the opinion of the American public is going to change in view also of not only infanticide, assisted suicide, euthanasia, and the various forms and extremes of this kind of care. Francis Schaefer also comments, the next step is to destroy human individuals or groups of individuals because they are unwanted, imperfect, or socially embarrassing. Senility, infirmity, retardation, insanity, and incontinence are conditions that come to mind. Obviously, when one comes to that practice, he has gone far beyond even so-called mercy killing. He has entered the same realm as that of Nazi behavior during World War II. This is essentially what abortionists are doing with unborn babies, because many of these abortionists have no medical concern for whether the unborn baby lives. To have those babies is merely inconvenient, uneconomical, or perhaps embarrassing. Carrying this practice to its logical conclusion, we come to death selection and genocide. What will be the long-term result of this kind of legislation? The article goes on to say, quote, it is to be hoped that physicians in Vermont will remain committed to the well-being of their patients and not their destruction. The American people must discourage attempts to legalize this ethically problematic policy and instead work for ever-improving care for the terminally ill, and recognition of the dignity of every human person until natural death. Schaefer, in his book Whatever Happened to the Human Race, says some people not only believe that men and women are only machines, but are acting on the idea that they are only so many digits in one big computer. Feeling the place, warmth, love, and compassion are not to mention the beauty and reality of human relationships. Above other considerations are often all put aside for the great God of efficiency, especially in the economic realm. Well, we do live in a time called the computer age, or computer generation. Or perhaps we may say it is a digital time when people are reduced to numbers. But I would say to you that people are more than numbers, that they're human beings. They have body, soul, and spirit. And God has made us after His image and His likeness. And we have a responsibility to care for those that we love, for our elderly, and for our very young who are unable to care for themselves. In closing, let us remember what the Word of God says in the book of Genesis in chapter 1 and 25 and 26. And God made the beasts of the earth after His kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after His kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. The requirement after the flood was to protect man. So whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For the image of God made he man. And so God sent them forth to multiply and to replenish the earth. In the dignity of life, we are to populate the earth. In the dignity of life, we are to preserve life. In the dignity of life, we are to care for those that need our care. And so let us continue to care for them. Let us take every means to care for the young and for the old alike. And let us remember, as much as we care for these who are vulnerable, we also care for ourselves and for the propagation of the human race, that God has required that we would remember that we are made in His image and in His likeness, and God would have us to honor Him. This is David Gilpatrick with the Sons of Effingham Baptist Church and News in Focus.